You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth. It's airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes. And today, very special day, it became official, I have a co-host, and I'd like to introduce him right now, my friend, a great American, great chef, Chris Gesualdi. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
Welcome aboard, man.
Thank you so much.
We tried him out last week, if you heard, Chris, and I've been trying him out for 10 years now, and I've known Chris, and the only thing he's better at than chefing is being an American. This guy is the most patriotic, red, white, and blue bleeding radical American I've ever met, and I think he's going to be great for the show. Tell us a little about yourself, Chris.
Simply, I'm just a hardworking chef, someone who really cares, and just love being an American. It's easy to be.
See how easy that is? That's America right there. That's it. You need to know about Chris.
I know last week I went a little bit too fast. This week I'm going to try to slow it down so you can keep up with me.
All right. And once the show blows up a little bit and we have the TV cameras in here and everything, I'm going to love for the people to see you. Handsome, tall man, but he wears the shades while he's doing the show. He's got his Ray-Bans on, looking cool. We like this. I can't pull that off. See, that's why I need you. I'm just a regular guy.
I'm just hiding.
All right. Maybe he's wanted. So today's show, very exciting. So the way the show is going to break down from now on is, here is Chef Chris, the resident food expert. This guy knows everything about cooking, food in general, the cuts of meat. I mean, I don't know what he doesn't know. Myself, being a lesser chef, will obviously chime in a little bit. But I'm here for the hunting expertise, the wild animal angle of the show. And I think it'll be a good mix. But today, we're going to talk a little turkey, not to be corny. Specifically for me, the Eastern turkey, the wild Eastern turkey. This turkey is indigenous to New York State, the state in which I hunt. And, you know, I wanted to go over this amazing animal and kind of talk about its traits, its biology, what it does in the wild, how it survives, its breeding season, the hunting season, and kind of really break it down, tell you a few stories along the way, and let Chris talk to you about the actual, fabrication and cooking of this animal, which I have some strong opinions, and I know the chef does too, because he's probably going to make fun of me, so I'll preemptively strike. But we'll get to that. So what do you want to talk about, Chef? Where should we start? The wild Eastern turkey. Should we start with the history of it? I mean, you know, this is an amazing animal. And when we talk about it, we're really talking about, you know, just like every wild animal, a male and a female, the male being the tom. And you ready for this? There's the gobble, the tom, the male call. And, you know, they use this call it's a call for arms, it's a call to fight, it's a warning call, it's a call to attract hens. It's a great call. And on the other hand, we have the female turkey, referred to as a hen, and she has a milder call. And she'll use that to attract males. Again, and depending on the pitch, tone, longevity of the call, she could communicate a couple of different things: danger, food, looking for her young ones. So they really have a system by which they verbalize to each other. The tom has a long beard and hair-like feathers on their chest. The interesting thing about these animals, they're pretty big animals. I mean, they could be a male, could be a mature male, could be 2.5 feet tall and weigh up to 25, 30 pounds. You know, the average weight being anywhere from 18 to 20 pounds. So they're a big animal. And when you see them fully dressed in their feathers and strutting along in the woods, it's really a beautiful undertaking. The females are smaller than the toms and weigh anywhere between, 9 to 12 pounds. Hens have this rusty body, and Chef has handed me, I would assume, turkey jerky in some form, which I'm not going to eat right this second. It smells delicious, though. If you tuned in last week, we talked a lot about jerky. But we'll get to Chef Chris in a second here. So the hens have a rusty brown body and a blue-gray head. They're not as dramatic. They're more streamlined. They could sneak around the woods a little easier. Just a brief history of this bird in New York. The bird itself, the eastern turkey, is native to all of North America. Turkeys were widespread when the Europeans arrived, and they were here before the earliest human inhabitants here in North America. During the colonization, wild turkeys occupied all of New York State, every portion, from Long Island, the tip Montauk Point, to the deepest reaches of the Adirondack Mountains. The turkey habitat was lost when forests were cut for timber and turned into small farms. At one point, we were talking before the show, 75% of New York in the 1800s was farmland. And this really devastated the turkey flocks during this time. The next remarkable time period for turkeys was in the early 1900s. The farming industry actually started to decline here in New York. And between, the early 1900s and the 1940s, turkeys started to make a small comeback. The turkeys actually always thrived in Pennsylvania, less farmland, more inhabitable woods for them. And as things became better for these turkeys in New York, they kind of migrated from Pennsylvania back into New York. And by the 60s, they were starting to flourish. And at that point, our Department of Environmental Control got involved, to their credit, and trapped turkeys and moved them throughout the state to build flocks in other parts as opposed to just the southern tier. So we saw this reintroduction of the turkey, in further north in New York State. Today, the numbers are estimated to be anywhere between 250 to 300,000 birds. The DEC says that's a very healthy number. They're trying to maintain or slightly increase that number, which ties in with what I do, the hunting aspect of this. New York also was responsible for helping the reintroduction of turkeys to states, other states in the Northeast, Vermont, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, even Canada. We trapped some of our turkeys, sent them up there. So the eastern turkey is doing fine. Its numbers are very healthy. And through the conservation of hunting, we're maintaining the healthy herd numbers. Correction, we're talking about birds now, flock numbers of these birds. And hunting turkey is, I would say, next to deer hunting, my second favorite undertaking in the woods, Chef. I'm sorry, I'm taking up all your time here.
He's staring. No, that's okay.
I think he's staring at me through those glasses. I can't tell. Give me one more minute. We just gotta lay the groundwork. Then we'll just start talking some real turkey. So these turkeys, we got to talk about, just like any hunter likes to talk about, their rut or their mating season. And for the eastern turkey, that's going to happen in May, generally late May. They're going to start looking into their breeding. What you're going to see is, like any breeding animal, a lot of activity at that time. The hens start searching out males, the males searching out the hens. The male turkey becomes very aggressive. The toms, the gobblers, become very aggressive. At this time, if you're in the woods, you will certainly spot a turkey running around trying to complete its life cycle. He's gobbling. He's gobbling. The hen is clucking. And they're communicating. So once they complete their cycle, you could expect the hen to lay anywhere between, and it takes about 2 weeks, but she could lay anywhere between 10 to 12 cream-colored eggs, which hatch after a 20-day incubation period. And this all coincides with the hunting season. The reason we hunt these animals in the rut or during their breeding time is because they're accessible, they're out, they're making mistakes, and that's when we wanna hunt them. You know, to hunt these, we have a lot of strategies. One, first of all, is to locate them, Chef. We got to locate them. And we're going to get to you. You prepare them. I hunt them, okay? The hunting part of this is very important. I see you getting impatient.
This is your show, Chef.
No, it's your show too, and I feel bad. But we got to talk about the hunting aspect. So I'm hunting. First thing I want to do, I got to locate the bird. Can't shoot them unless you locate them, right? So there's a couple of ways to locate them. Simple tom call. Maybe they answer. Maybe they don't. We do predator calls. We could call crows. The turkeys don't like the crows. Crows don't like the turkey. Let's do some crow calls. Generally, that will elicit a response from the turkeys. Now I know where they are. I set up. Turkeys are very alert. They got great eyesight. I got to camouflage myself completely, and I start the calling process. And that could be different things depending on the turkeys, what they're reacting to. Sometimes I'll try to attract hens, knowing that if I attract the hens, gobblers will follow. Other times, I want to do hen calls. I want to trick the turkey, the male turkey, the tom, into thinking I am a fertile, ready-to-breed hen. If I could do that, I bring him into range, and I get my harvest. I have a wild turkey. Chef, you have a lot of information about turkeys, right? Let's hear.
So you brought me the, what are we going to talk about now, the cooking of the turkey?
No, let's not go that far yet. I know you did a lot of research. He had a lot of knowledge about these turkeys, and he said to me, oh, you know, Mr. Know-It-All, you mentioned one turkey. I know a lot of different turkeys. And I said, all right, we can mention that. We could talk about the different turkeys. You know, I know there's Osceola down south, but go ahead, Chef.
You know, the most common one is the White Holland.
Is that the... correct me if I'm wrong. I call it a butterball.
Could be called a butterball.
Okay.
But unlike the chicken, duck, and quail eggs, turkey eggs are not commonly sold as food due to the high demand for whole turkeys and lower output of eggs as compared with other fowl. And the value of a single turkey egg is estimated to be about $3.50 a piece.
Yeah, so there you go. So that ties in with their, you know, each hen laying between, you know, in the wild, only 12 to 15 eggs, which we could expect only about 30% of them to live. So we're on the way over here. Chef's like, you ever have scrambled turkey eggs? And no, I haven't, based on that. And that was interesting. You know, we could get quail eggs, obviously chicken eggs. There's a lot of eggs out there. But duck eggs, yep. But one of them is not turkey. You're not going to be able to find turkey eggs out there. But I want to focus more on the wild side of things, you know, the wild side. So I go out and harvest this turkey, right? Now I field dress it, I clean it up, I bring it to you. What do we have to do? How do we start the preparation of this turkey? See, I was telling Chef before the show, usually what I do, I pluck the turkey, which is time consuming. It takes forever. I remove the skin. I cut off, I butcher as much meat off the turkey I can, and I'll let Chef talk about the kind of, because we're all used to butterballs. You're used to turkey on Thanksgiving, right? Well, the wild game turkey is a little different based on what it eats and kind of its environment. But I strip the meat and I grind it and I make turkey burgers. That's all I do. I'll tell you the truth. By itself, the turkey meat doesn't really appeal to me on that level. It's very gamey. Think of dark meat on your Thanksgiving turkey and you know, just multiply that over the whole body of the turkey. It's all dark meat within reason. But I kill the turkey. I give it to my resident expert right here. And what are we doing? What about the cuts? What is the makeup? What are the cuts? Same as the chicken? Talk to me about that, Chef.
I'm going to break down the turkey. You know, I'm going to take the two breasts off to the bird, separate the legs, the thigh, and the drumstick. What I like to do with the carcass, the necks, and the gizzard, and the drumstick is make a soup. Just make a turkey stock, make a soup, pull off the meat from the bone, and you know, put some vegetables in there, maybe some noodles, make a turkey noodle soup. Is that slow enough for you?
No, you're doing great, Jeff. Keep it up.
So make a soup out of your carcasses. Since the meat is very dark on the wild bird, it's tough, it's gamey, I like to cook the breast separate.
Right, and so let's back up a little bit. So that's just based on that diet, right?
Right.
I mean, we feed domestic farm-raised turkeys something else.
You are what you eat.
Right.
All grain, the exercise, like the climate.
Right, so these turkeys are out in the wild surviving, living their life. The male turkey has a half-inch to one-inch spur on its leg that it uses to defend itself. I mean, they're fighting animals. They're aggressive animals out in the wild. So they're running around surviving. They're worried about predators, foxes, coyotes, animals like this. So they're living a hard life out there. And they're consuming things, really the same stuff deer eat. They're consuming acorns, wild forage. They're even insects, lizards, salamanders, things like that. They're scavengers.
Berries.
And this leads to, you know, the gaminess of the meat itself.
So you got a soup going already in your kitchen. I would just take the breast off the bone, leave the skin on. That'll keep it nice and moist and give it some texture. Roast to an internal temperature of 165 like you would normally do your whole bird.
Right. So nothing really changes there as far as the roasting of the turkey itself.
Nope.
And we're not trying to hide the gaminess. We're just going to throw it in an oven and roast it off. Any preparation for it?
Little salt, pepper. I mean, again, like we talked about last week, it's optional to brine if you like.
Okay, so to brine again. And when we get our website, and no one promising you this, we're going to have all these recipes for you. But, you know, we're just exploring the idea of this wild turkey now.
And the thighs are great if you braise them or stew them. Or you can just grind them up with the skin on. And you'll get a nice juicy burger, meatloaf, or a meatball.
Nice. See, that's what I like. I like the grinding of the meat, meatballs, meatloaf, turkey chili, things of this nature for me. Even turkey burgers. What I'll do is I'll freeze all the ground. We harvest this animal in early spring and we'll save it. I'll freeze it and then break it out in the summer. And you know, on the grill, beautiful, delicious, juicy turkey burgers.
You could also take that breast and slice it very thin, pound it, and just bread it and make a cutlet also.
All right, let's get back to that. But right now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Coffee Grounds by Four Lincolns on the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more...
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Jeswaldy, and we are talking turkey. And when we left off, Chef was going on about the breast, and you wanted to do something special with the breast, Chef? Because normally I just slice it off, like I said, grind it up. But he's a chef. He wants to take it to the next level. And I respect that. Go ahead.
I mean, if you're getting tired of just roasting the breasts, you can just slice the breast in like quarter-inch slices, lightly pound it into a cutlet, and standard breading procedure, flour, egg, breadcrumb, and just make yourself... Everybody likes everything fried, right?
Absolutely.
It's not healthy, but we all love it.
Every once in a while, right? No, I like where your head's at, Chef. Different preparations. You gotta be able to mix things up. And also, you know, within this, you got to think, you know, we're trying to eat more healthy, right? Especially these organic, free range, wild turkeys are going to be great for you. You know, but if we're buying, you know, a good quality turkey and preparing it in different ways, you know, and you could keep it fresh on the menu in your house or you know, wherever you are, you're gonna enjoy eating that turkey by different preparations. So really, all the preparations you do, I mean, anything you do with, obviously, this might sound a little silly, anything you do with chicken, you could obviously do it, you roast it, you grind it, you could do whatever you do with chicken, right? There's no restrictions here.
Absolutely. If you want to be, you know, more healthy, just grill that pounded piece of turkey. You want to get fancy? Make pâtés, make sausages.
Whoa, slow down. I'm not up to that, chef. Let's calm it down. We'll leave that to the expert chefs. But I wanted to tell you the story. I was telling Chris, I'm going to tell him a hunting story. You know, so this show is about hunting. And, you know, hunting turkey is a great outlet for me. You know, I love being in the woods. And then, you know, the deer season ends. The whitetail season ends, and I'm kind of at a loss. I truthfully don't do a lot of bird hunting as far as quail, stuff like that. I hunt a lot of duck, things like that. But there's kind of this void after the deer season. So I love to get out into the woods in the spring and go on a spring turkey hunt. And I have access. I'm very lucky. I have access to a friend's property up in Orange County that is loaded with turkey. So I was talking to a good friend of mine. He'd never been turkey hunting, or maybe once or twice had fooled around with it. And I said, no, I know. I'm a great turkey hunter. Come with me. We'll certainly get a turkey. So we left Long Island at 2 in the morning, a 2-hour drive up to Orange County. We're up there 4 o'clock in the morning, pitch dark, pull onto the logging road, the access road into the property, and we get out. And I tell him, watch this. As soon as I do the gobble call, as we've already done here, you're going to hear turkeys. I said, so keep your ears peeled. They might be off in the distance. And I hit the turkey call, and nothing. You know, you heard crickets. So I said, all right, no problem. Walk up a little bit. We walked up the road, pitch dark, middle of the night. Another gobble call, nothing. I said, oh, man, I don't know what's going on here today. Usually you'd hear them by now. Broke out my crow call. Walked about another, I don't know, half mile or so up this road, got on the crow call, and that elicited the response from these turkeys. They were basically surrounding us. We couldn't even pinpoint the direction of the turkeys. In every direction, we heard gobbles. We heard clucks from the hens. They went crazy when they heard the crow call. We backed out. We waited for first light. We set up. And basically a typical setup for turkey hunting, if you're hunting with a partner, you'd have the shooter and the guy calling the turkey. So I was going to call the turkey. So I got behind my friend who, Chris Reynolds, good friend of mine. He was up front, hidden in a bush closer to the road. And I was about, I don't know, 15 yards behind him, and I got on the hen calls and I started calling, and we heard a response from the hens, and the hens were calling. What I didn't know is that my friend had brought this little video camera that he hooks up to his foot, and you're kind of you're sitting on your butt, leaning against a tree, and he put it on. He kind of strapped it to his foot, and I couldn't see. There was a slight decline in the way the land broke, you know. So I was kind of down in this gully, and I was calling, and I heard them, and they were getting closer and closer. It was a lot of turkeys, so I was just bracing for the shotgun blast. And every once in a while, over the rise, I could see heads, and I saw toms, and I saw hens, and they were what appeared to be walking right in front of him. You know, just they kept going. Eventually, no more calls. They had walked past. I didn't hear any gunshots, so I got up, went to my friend. I said, what happened? I thought I saw turkeys. And he said, I couldn't shoot. They were just too beautiful. It was amazing. I saw about 30 turkeys walk by, and he broke out his video camera, and he started showing me this parade of toms, hens. I had called in, you know, 20, 25 turkeys had strolled right by him. And he said, but don't worry about it. And so I was a little distraught. I said, listen, I could appreciate admiring their beauty, but I like to admire it when they're dead so we could eat them. And he said, no, come on, turkey hunting's so easy. You called them in 5 minutes. We'll be okay. not realizing they're really, he didn't realize they're real active in the morning. And the rest of the day we spent, you could only hunt till 12 o'clock in the afternoon in the spring. They want to give the turkeys a break. They want to give the hens a break to take care of their eggs. So we hunted till 12. We didn't see another turkey the rest of the day. So that was one of my unsuccessful hunts. Still, I was out in the woods. I was enjoying life. But if I had harvested one of these animals, right, what a great feeling, what a great undertaking to be able to, you know, take this wild game from the woods, bring it home, and actually actually prepare it for your friends and family, something you went out, something you worked for, something you had to study, something you had to understand to get this bird to come in, to actually go ahead and harvest it. I try not to say the word kill it, but, you know, we harvest these animals to consume. So what do you think of that, Chef? You ever going to get out there with me? Not to question your manhood.
That sounds like something I would have done. I would have took pictures and said, wow, right. They look really beautiful.
Right. I don't know what it is with me. I attract these people, these wildlife photographers, we'll call them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a libertarian, so, you know, you could get to know me a little bit. You know,
so living, I don't think I could shoot one.
Live and let live. See, that bothers me a little bit. That bothers me. So you'll cut them apart. You'll strip them off the bone. If I brought you one dead, you would have no problem sticking them in brine, making them delicious. So why not complete the cycle? Why not start the cycle? Why not kill them? You know the farmers are killing them. We know Butterball is killing them, right? Purdue is killing them. Why can't we kill them in a more humane, in a more natural way, that's actually controlling and helping their flocks? That's my point. You know, I think you can kill him, Chef. I think if you work on it, we'll get you out there.
I think it would be like smoking pot. It might lead on to something worse.
Nice.
So,
okay. Gateway yeah. Killing.
So I don't even want to begin.
All right. I don't even know where to go with that, the gateway killing. I don't know what we kill next. Well, hopefully it does. I think that's how it works. We kill turkey first. Then we kill deer. Then we learn how to kill bear. You know, so I'm going to try to get you hooked on this. Let's not say killing. Sorry. Harvesting of wild animals.
That could be a little offensive to some.
It could be offensive. And I don't want to offend anybody. I try not to. As a libertarian, I want to try to spread the word about conservation. I don't want to be one of those guys who don't understand the other argument. And really, you know, the conservation, I have done more as a hunter. Hunters have done more for the conservation of wild animals in this country than any other group. I will argue that all day. If you disagree with me, call the station. Call Jack. Email us. Get in touch. I would love to talk to you and hear your side of the story. You know, but unless you're a strict vegetarian, vegan, really, I don't see your argument. I don't see the argument. I hunt within the rules set by the DEC in New York State that does a fabulous job, employs biologists, they ascertain herd and flock sizes, and they set a tag limit, a bag limit on these animals that are going to keep them healthy. Anywhere that animals are not hunted, any animal, Chef, right? We have problems. This week alone, two bird strikes out of, I believe, Kennedy or maybe LaGuardia Airport, geese. We don't hunt geese in Queens. And that's a problem, you know. So now we're seeing the airports overrun with these animals. It becomes a problem for the animals. It becomes a bigger problem for the humans. So, you know, I feel like I'm actually providing a service, and you're all welcome for that service. Not a problem. What else should we talk about, Chef? What do you got? We only have a few more minutes here.
There's another turkey out there. You didn't really touch the surface on
that. I see. Here we go. Now he wants to talk about his knowledge of turkeys.
It's not wild or domestic. It's a lame turkey.
Okay. A lame turkey.
Yeah. Nancy P. and Harry R.
See, here we go. My co-host wants to get political now.
Not for human consumption. And as far as activities, all they do is sit on their fat asses and make noise.
See, he's the radical guy within this group here. He had to slip in that bad joke at the end, comparing our political leadership to turkeys. I don't want the show to get too political and start attacking people, Chef. But
I still won't shoot him.
No, but as a... Good, you better not. Don't even joke about that, please. Don't even joke. I know him. He's only joking. You know, the thing is here, guys, don't be afraid of exploring recipes and ideas and wild game. If someone offers you wild game, take it. Prepare it like you would anything you bought at the supermarket. Enjoy it. Turkey, a great, healthy, savory dish you can enjoy all year. It doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. You know, email us if you need any help with it, and we'll be able to help you through any kind of problems you're having within the kitchen with that wild turkey. Do you have anything to add here, Chef? Should we do a few turkey calls? Oh, so at the beginning of the show, Chef gave me this what appears to be leather, but he's claiming is turkey jerky. Now, I don't think I'm offending him because I heard him rustling with the bag. He didn't make this. And it actually smells like Alpo to me, dog food. So I wouldn't eat this if it was the last thing on earth. I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to my jerky. Chef, thank you. You got your first show, official show as co-host under the belt here. How do you feel?
I feel great.
So thank you very much. That's all the time we have. I would like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from The Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or iTunes as a podcast. Also, you can check out our new website at wildgamedomain.com. And remember, we're live every Tuesday. And if you have any questions for the program, you could call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.